And is it so I shall be like thy son? 18 in the appendix. Is this the grace which he for me has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to his own blessed likeness brought. Number 18 in the appendix. Father and our God, thou dost have purposes of blessing for thy dear people. There is a scene that thou hast prepared above through the finished work of Christ, where love will reign supreme, where every vestige of sin will be forever removed, the Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world, and everything will redound to thy glory and honor, O God. We think of the life of the one who is here below, accomplishing thy purposes, whoever did thy will, and is now seated at thy right hand, who will bring to fruition all thy purposes of blessing to all creation here below. We thank thee, blessed God, that thou hast revealed this to us in thy precious word. It rises above all the other thoughts, the thought that thou art a God of love, as well as a God of light, but thou dost love thy creature and will bring them into that wonderful sphere of blessing, both in heaven and on earth. We thank thee for our position in Christ. Nearer could not be as part of the bride of Christ. Our loving Father, we pray that thy precious word may be blessed as it is ministered to our hearts this afternoon. Thou wouldst take and use it by thy Spirit. We pray too for our brethren who may be traveling homewards, and do them see them safely to their destination. We thank thee for allowing us this occasion to come apart, and for the authorities too upon whose heart thou dost move as the rivers of water to accomplish thy purposes. And so thou havest to be in peace. We wait upon thee, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
In my personal reading, I just started the book of Joshua, and I read part of the first chapter yesterday, and I read the rest of the first chapter today. But then 2 days earlier, I was just finishing up the book of Deuteronomy, and I'd like to turn there for a moment just to introduce what I have on my heart, Deuteronomy chapter 33. In Genesis 49, we have Jacob blessing his sons. And then in Deuteronomy 33, we have Moses blessing the tribes. But he starts this portion off, verse 1, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. It's this verse that I had in my heart. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. You know, this is a marvelous place for us to be found, at the feet of the Lord Jesus. It's the place of blessing for every one of our souls, is at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And I would like to look at some in the New Testament who found themselves at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and then to turn also to the Old Testament and to see some in type found at the feet of the Lord Jesus. So could we turn first of all to Luke's Gospel chapter 10. Luke's Gospel chapter 10. And in verse 38, every one of these ones we're going to look at, there's a little different characteristic with each one. Some heard, some saw. But here we find in Luke's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That's all I'm going to read. We know that this is the portion where we find Martha was cumbered about with much service. If we were to go to John's Gospel chapter 12, we would find once again Martha's there, but she's not cumbered with service. She's there in her right sphere. We find Mary also, and also Lazarus. But here we find Mary. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. What a blessed place for us to be, found at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and it's there that we're able to hear what the Lord has to say to us. Sometimes in the busyness of life, it's hard for us to hear. I've often encouraged those who are young to take up the Word of God and to read it, but not just to read it with your eyes, but to read it with your ears. To read it with your ears, to hear what the Lord Jesus has to say. And what a blessed portion that Mary had here. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Isn't it a blessed thing when the Lord speaks to be able to hear? You know, I'm afraid there's been many times in my life when the Lord's spoken and I haven't heard. I haven't heard. Sometimes there's a loud voice, but sometimes it's a still small voice that the Lord speaks with. What a blessed thing it is for us to be found like Mary, sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus and hearing his word. Now let's go to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. If we were to read this chapter, and we won't, it's the story of the Shunammite and how she prepared a chamber for Elisha. And she had a son. She had a son. And the son grew. And there came that time when the son died. And what a sad time it was. But we'll take up now and read from verse 30. And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awaked." And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain. And he prayed unto the Lord. Oh, what a time of extreme extremity we have here. And we find a man in intercession before the Lord, in earnest. And we find in verse 34, he went up, and he lay upon the child, and he put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." What I have is not to look at the story, but to look at the spirit of the Shunammite at this particular time. We know that this dear woman had been through a terrible time. Just one son. Now her son was gone. And now her son's been raised, and she's just been told to come and take up her son. But what does she do? Let's read. We'll read the end of the 36th verse again. "Take up thy son." And she went in. Does she take up her son? No, that's not what she does. She went in, and she fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground. And then we read, she took up her son. You know, she could have taken up her son in obedience, but oh, there was an appreciation in her heart for what had just transpired. And in the extremities of our life, when the Lord's hand's upon us, do I manifest that spirit that we find in the Shunammite, who when she was told to take up her son, if it had been me, I would have ran to my son and picked him up and embraced him. But no, she recognized the source of the blessing that she was experiencing at this time. And she goes, and it says here, and she fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. What a story this is. Story of Nabal. And without, again, going through the story, we find the word comes to David.
of Nabal in verse 10. Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, 200 abode by the stuff. Oh, what a time we have here in David's life. David is furious. He's furious. And he gathers his men together, 400 men. They gather their swords, and away they go. They're going to do justice to what he's just heard. And there meets him one in the way. Verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted. Let's picture the scene. David, an angry man, 400 men with him with their swords. When Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Here's our subject now. And fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. Now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord." It's a touching scene, isn't it? To see this army coming down to do justice to what they've heard. And here comes this wonderful woman in her place, and she falls at David's feet. And notice what she says. She says, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be." You know, what had she done? She hadn't done anything. But she takes all the blame, if you read the portion. And I've so appreciated, you know, because in the next chapter, we find that David's being pursued by Saul. And that time comes when there's Saul lying asleep, and David approaches him. Abishai's there, and David's counseled, "Take off Saul's head." And you know, he doesn't do it. He just said, "I'm not going to lay my hand on the Lord's anointed." You know, I've just looked at that portion and realized, you know, it was Abigail that saved Saul's life. It was Abigail that saved Saul's life. Here's David, just ferocious, and he's on his way down. He's going to do justice. He has his sword drawn. Oh, I believe he learned a lesson there. Here, as Abigail steps in front of him and causes him not to shed blood needlessly, and in that next portion where he's standing in front of the Lord's anointed, oh, the savior, what had just passed, I believe, saved Saul's life. Here, this woman that fell at the feet of David. Let's go to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 20. "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him," and so on. When it came to Mary, it says, she heard his word at his feet. But now it's a little different here in verse 22. There cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And hasn't that been our experience too? You know, we take up the word, or there's some little incident that happens in our life, and oh, it's a little glimpse of the Lord. It's just a little glimpse of the Lord. Perhaps we haven't heard anything, but we just get a little glimpse. And what does it do? Oh, it causes our hearts to fall. The feet of the Lord Jesus is did here for Jairus. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Oh, that may that be our portion, to ever be looking to see a glimpse of that blessed one, our Lord Jesus, that it may cause us to fall at the feet of that blessed one. Now let's go over a couple chapters to the seventh chapter. Mark's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Oh, I can learn something here from this dear woman who heard of the Lord Jesus and came and fell at his feet. Well, what was the deportment of this dear woman who was from Tyre and Sidon? We see that in verse 28. She answered and said unto him, two words. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Is that two words that come from our hearts on a daily basis? Is that two words that come from our hearts? Yes, Lord. The portion that the Lord brings across our pathway, whatever it might be, are we willing to be like this dear woman who in a time of extremity was able to say, Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I covet that in my own soul. I covet that. How often I'm not willing to say yes to my blessed Lord. Not willing to recognize the claims of that blessed one whom we had before us this morning as the Lamb of God. Oh, might my heart learn from this woman at the feet of the Lord Jesus who said, Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter. Luke's Gospel, chapter 28 and verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him. He was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake, and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, and went in, and told it to the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You know, it matters not. What's transpired in our life before? What circumstances we find ourselves presently now? The place of blessing is at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Think of the experience of this man. Who knows how long? But think of the blessing. Here he's found. They went out to see what was done, and they found the man of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a blessed place. So many of us here have had that blessed privilege to be found at the Lord Jesus' feet, just quietly sitting. What a blessing it is to be found there. And here is this man at the feet of the Lord Jesus, his life totally upside down, total turmoil, total confusion, and it's changed, and he's found at the feet of the Lord Jesus. What a blessed place to be in. Let's go back a chapter, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with them, and he went out. He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisees which were bidden saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. Oh, what a place for this woman. Just think of the circumstances of this woman. And here she's found, standing at the feet of the Lord Jesus, behind him weeping. Now, what did she have to do? It says she began to wash his feet with her tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head. Reminds me of that little poem. Lo at thy feet, Lord Jesus, this is the place for me. Here I have learnt sweet lessons, truth that has set me free. Free from myself, Lord Jesus, free from the thoughts of men. Chains of thought that once bound me, never shall bind me again. Oh, what a portion for this dear woman to be found at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Let's go over 10 chapters now to Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. You know, we had yesterday in our reading, in everything, give thanks. Just picture these 10 lepers. Picture them all being cleansed. 9 of them, they're caught up with the ceremonies of the day, and they're going to go and be obedient to what the Lord Jesus had said. But oh, there's one here, and the affections of his heart are unloosed. And he comes back, and he falls on his face at the feet of the Lord Jesus, giving him thanks. Is that deportment in my own heart? That spirit of thankfulness? We appreciate someone who's thankful. We don't appreciate someone who takes things for granted. Here's a man. He was thankful. He comes. He falls on his face. Feet of the Lord Jesus with a thankful heart. Now, one last one in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 6. Speaking of Ruth, and she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and he turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore, it should read, spread therefore thy wing over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. You know, Ruth's the only one in the scripture that's called a virtuous woman. We find that here. All the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman. Well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And here's our subject. And she lay at his feet until the morning. I was enjoying yesterday in our reading here the thought of watching and waiting for the Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell a little story. Many here have heard it, perhaps heard Albert tell it. He used to tell this story. But I drive by the place where this took place every week, and sometimes several times a week. And this is when our brother Albert Hale was in business in Smith Falls. And he'd leave his place of business, and he'd walk home. And he'd round the corner, and up in the second story of the house, just at the end of Strathcona, his daughter was watching and waiting every day. And she would give him a big smile and wave to him. You know, and after a long day's work, he'd start on his way home, and just with anticipation, he'd know when he rounded that corner, there would his daughter be at the window. And so he'd round that corner, and there she was. Big smile and big wave. This one day, he was detained a little at the office. He was a little bit late in leaving, and he quickened his step because he knew what was awaiting him. And he came down the street, and he rounded the corner, and there was nobody in the window. Nobody in the window. Well, you know, he went on home, and he went in the door, and he went up the stairs, and there was his daughter in the room where the window was, and she was playing, and she looked up, and she says, Oh, Daddy, I just stopped watching. I just stopped watching. And you know, he had a heavy heart. He had a heavy heart. And as he talked with his daughter, he realized that she was disappointed too. That she was disappointed too. Oh, may it be our portion to not simply be waiting for the Lord Jesus, but also to be watching, to be watching. Here we find in the book of Ruth, there she is found at the feet of Boaz. And how long was she there? It says, she lay at his feet until the morning, until the morning. Oh, may that be the portion of my heart to be found watching and waiting until the morning at his blessed feet.
Can we turn to John 17? John 17 and the first verse. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, Probably a lot. A number in this room can maybe even quote the rest of this chapter by heart, and those of us who can't certainly know and love every word of it. But that one word, Father, we know how precious the fellowship was that the Son enjoyed with the Father when he was here on this earth. But it's not that that I wish to just remind our hearts of. It's the relationship that we enjoy. And first of all, to just underline the fact that it's the same relationship that the Son enjoyed with his Father. That very precious, eternal relationship that the Lord Jesus shared with his Father has been given to us to enjoy. I don't know how you pray. You know, sometimes it's pretty simple. Dear God, bless mommy and daddy and grandpa and grandma and help me with this and that and the other thing. Amen. And I'm sure the Lord listens to prayers like that and loves to hear his children pray. But do you ever pray where you can't get past the first word? Does it ever overwhelm your heart, the fact that you are addressing the God of the universe, the eternal God of creation, as your Father, and that he hears and that he listens? The other day I was watching a man leave the hospital carrying a baby carrier. And his wife, who had done all the work, was about 4 paces behind. And he had his head down and he was looking in the baby carrier. And you could just about see the smile because it was wrapped around the back of his head. And he looked up at me and I went like that. And his face just radiated. The joy in that man's face was absolutely glorious. And I thought, my Father takes delight in me. Imagine that. Think of that. We don't have to imagine it, we know it. Think of that for just a moment. Who am I anyway? This tiny little creature on a tiny little planet, somewhere in an infinite universe that's measured in light years, created by the word of his mouth. And he looks down on you, and he looks down on me, and he takes delight, individual, special joy and delight in you and in me. We know the principles, we know the truth, we know what Scripture teaches, we know the facts, and they're so precious. But do we ever let them enter our souls in such a way that we're left speechless? To think of the relationship that we enjoy, that you enjoy, that I enjoy, or are able to enjoy, and we don't even begin to get to the past the first stage of it, perhaps, What we do enjoy is by the Spirit of God, and we know it's real, and we know it's true, and it's precious to us. But there is so much more, so much beyond what we comprehend on a daily basis, so much for us to just let penetrate our hearts, our souls, our thoughts, our beings. The Father that we have is the one who sent his Son and who became, the Lord Jesus became, that which we were out of the love of a Father's heart for you and for me. We just we tend to start off rather quickly and start right into the prayer and begin with Father and begin with the Lord Jesus and go into those things which are on our hearts. But the thought that we are in a relationship with the eternal God is so far above and beyond what it even is that I'm praying about. Why did I start to pray? What did I have in my heart? What was I going to tell him? What was I going to ask him? What was I thinking about? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. The fact that I can address him with that word that the Lord Jesus used and loved to use and speak to him as my Father, everything else just fades. It doesn't matter. That relationship is ours. Whether we enjoy it or not, whether we think of it or not, whether we even speak to him or not. But as we realize what it means to have that ongoing, eternal relationship with him, how it takes us out of our circumstances, how it takes us out of our particular need it may be, you know, when it talks in Philippians, we should read that verse. We know it again by heart, but let's just read it. Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Maybe we'll never get past the thanksgiving if the thought of who it is that we're speaking to enters our hearts. It's by prayer and thanksgiving and supplication with thanksgiving, but the requests come afterwards. And sometimes we just don't get to the requests because we're so overwhelmed with thanksgiving for that relationship that is ours, bought with the precious blood of his beloved Son, ours to enjoy not only in eternity, but here and now. We live so much not for ourselves, perhaps not in a selfish way, but our perspective is so much within ourselves, even in a good sense, when we think of, you know, our families, our home, our responsibilities perhaps, our assembly, those that we love. Those are all important, significant, and precious. But far above our own circumstances, far above our own thoughts, far above our own relationships, is that one glorious, eternal relationship with God, who is my Father.
Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. I'm really thankful and really happy and really encouraged with the reading meetings that we've had today, this weekend. And it's some of the things that we've gotten from this reading meeting. These reading meetings were children of the day, were children of the light, and to be watching and waiting for the Lord to take us home at any moment, because we are children of the day and children of the light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. And that really does speak to my heart, and I'm sure that it speaks to your heart as well. Let us who are of the day be sober. And today we need that exhortation more than ever before, because in this day in which we live, there's never been a day like today where there has been so much of this party spirit going on, and it's everywhere. There's this party spirit, and the children of the night and the children of darkness are apt and have a tendency to get drunk, and to do those things, spiritual drunkenness, not just physical drunkenness, but there's spiritual drunkenness throughout this entire world. And it especially seems that Satan has attacked the Western world very hard, because the Western world has been blessed with so much truth. Because the truth of the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was spread throughout Europe when the Apostle Paul went to Europe. And and of course, we've experienced that blessing. That blessing has come over to the United States and Canada. And especially, you know, in the last 170, 180 years, when the truth was recovered by Brother John Nelson Darby and the brethren that were with him. And we need this. And so Satan has definitely attacked this Western world, Western Europe, and these countries, the United States and Canada, that have been so favored. And Satan knows that his time is short. And so we need these exhortations that are in here in this chapter. There's a lot of practical exhortations, as we've had, to be sober. And I think I read one time where there was a brother that knew Mr. Darby very well, that about the time when Brother Darby recovered the truth, the Lord led him to recover the truth, in his day, already, Mr. Darby made some kind of a comment that there was some kind of a party spirit going on. And fast forward that to 178 years later, 178, 179 years later, to the day where we're living right now, that party spirit is even worse. It's even full-blown. Just before the Lord comes to take us home. So we need this exhortation to be sober more than anything, more than ever before. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Putting on the breastplate of faith. In Ephesians, you have the breastplate of righteousness, and the breastplate of righteousness is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here it is, the breastplate of faith and love. The just shall live by faith, and the breastplate of faith and love. The breastplate of faith, the breastplate of faith and love, it's a wonderful thing. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's wonderful, and it's extremely wonderful to take up the word of God in your own individual time, and read the Word of God, and see what your Father and see what my Father has to say to us. And it goes hand in hand with the assembly reading meetings and prayer meetings, and to be in his presence collectively as an assembly, it's a wonderful thing. And the breastplate of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Breastplate of faith and love, and the love of the brethren, the love of the assembly, the love of the Lord. And if we show love one to another, it's a testimony to the world that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to God our Father, and it's a proof that God is our Father. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. In the book of Ephesians, just want to get that thought, how Ephesians puts it. Ephesians chapter 6. Yes. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And so, the helmet of salvation. We need that helmet of salvation to protect our thoughts in our minds and our hearts. The helmet of salvation can protect our heads from the wicked thoughts that Satan sometimes tries to throw at us and the fiery darts of the wicked. And we need that helmet of salvation to protect us from that evil that the devil tries to throw at us, that Satan tries to throw at us and rob us of the joy that we have. So, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. We have a blessed hope, the hope of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's coming soon to take us home. And we are soon to see the redemption of our bodies. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he's going to redeem these bodies. He's going to take these bodies of ours, and he's going to fashion them like unto his glorious body. And so we have a full salvation. Our spirits and our souls have been redeemed. But the day is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ will take our bodies, and he will fashion our bodies like unto his glorious body.
Father, pray that thou wouldst help us to be sober and to be vigilant. For our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh about whom he may devour. So, Lord Jesus, we pray that thou wouldst help us in this regard. Give us grace and strength. We thank thee for thy precious word that has gone forth. Pray that thou wouldst use thy precious word to bless our hearts. We thank thee for blessing us this afternoon with this open meeting. Pray that thou wouldst continue to give us grace and guidance, and we continue to look for thee for guidance and strength for the next meeting as well, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord Jesus, we just look to thee. We thank thee for bringing us here together, and pray that thou wouldst help us to value thy precious word more and more as we get closer to thy coming to take us home. So we just look to thee, we pray and we ask it, in thine own most precious and worthy name, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Amen.